Turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, here in chapter 2, as we consider this church there in Greece, and the Apostle Paul spending a little bit of time with them, and then the Lord saving, calling different ones there in Thessalonica out of their heathenism, out of their wickedness. Maybe there were some Jews there that were saved also. No doubt there were. And now writing to this church, and admonishing them and encouraging them, seeking to edify them in their calling and stand there for the Lord. We'll take a look at that in that respect here this afternoon. You pray the Lord will help us and bless us together. In verse number 8 of chapter 2 is where we left off. So being affectionately desirous of you, they were gentle, it says in verse 7. They were as a nurse cherisheth her children. They were affectioned towards them. The Lord had called the Apostle Paul. Remember, we heard and we read about the Macedonian call. The Apostle and his troops sought to go north into Asia Minor, but the Lord prevented that, shut that down. And then the Apostle had the dream about going to Macedonia. Ultimately, that led them to go on down into Greece. There were those that the Lord was going to save through the preaching of the Word, and the Apostle knew that. He had confidence of that. He had confidence. You know, the Lord told him, the man appeared to him in that dream. The Lord gave that, and they were solid. They were sure. They got up to Philippi up there in Macedonia and got thrown in jail. Weren't discouraged. Hurt for a while. Might have been had moments of discouragement. From what the Scripture says, that Paul and Silas are singing at midnight, right? The Philippian jailer, the Lord used that to save him. He knows how to get a hold of people, how to change hearts. So these people, I mean, they were went on down to from Philippi, went to different towns, ended up at Thessalonica. And he says here in verse 8, being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. I mean, boy, that's a big statement. I'm willing to give fully of myself for you. I'll tell you what, it's shameful in my consideration of that statement regarding myself. How willing am I to give of my soul for the sake of others? The Apostle Paul had a desire for his countrymen. He says, is it not in the book of Romans that he wished himself accursed for his countrymen's sake? That's love. That's love like the Lord had for us. And he says as much, I believe, to these people. So not only the gospel, but our own souls, because ye were dear to us. The latter part of this chapter tells more about that, and we'll get to that ultimately. Verse 9, for ye remember, brethren, our labor, our travail, for laboring day and night, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. If there were those willing to hear, they preached, they taught. I believe that even after there were those that were established and a church was established there, just even those few days, they baptized those believers, no doubt, as the example was in Philippi. They didn't, I believe the example that the apostle gives, he worked rather than charging them. He had authority, had power as an apostle. I think in all things, they were very gentle and not withholding the Word of God in any way and not putting a burden on them in any way, that they might receive the gospel that they preached unto them. Look over here in Acts chapter 20. The apostle speaks, I believe, about this in regards to the gospel. And a challenge to you and me as the Lord's people and children, a challenge to me as a preacher and a pastor and the folks that we meet in Acts chapter 20 here in verse number 26 here. As the apostle is on his way to Jerusalem, he meets with these brethren at Miletus. There's been many that have come from Ephesus and maybe some other places. And he says in verse 26 of Acts 20, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. May God help me. May God help you. May God help us that we not shun that responsibility. To tell.
Amen.
I fail in that. I don't want to fail in that, but I do. I forget. I don't think. I don't say. I'm afraid. Different things come upon me. May God help us that we wouldn't be charged with it. There'd be no person's blood laid to our account because we didn't tell them about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we were not a witness to them. May God help us in that. And he says, he didn't want to be chargeable to you. Verse 10, ye are witnesses, back in Thessalonians chapter 2, ye are witnesses and God also how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. They were witnesses of how to be, how to serve. They came there preaching, not for their own fame, not for their own gain, but they came there preaching for the benefit of those that they preached to. And those that believed in that, and continuing to teach them and instruct them, even for that short time, that the apostle was there, and then as Silas and Timothy stayed back for a time seemingly, and then it seems like Timothy is also sent back to them over the course of time, they behaved themselves and were a witness on how to operate as a church, how to operate as the children of God. As you know, verse 11, how we exhorted, he charged them, he challenged them and comforted and charged every one of you. So they were exhorted, they were comforted, they were charged as a father doth his children. Here's the point for this afternoon, verse 12, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. The Lord's called, verse number 5 of chapter 1, let's review this. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. As ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. It was for their sake that they came and that they operated the way they did. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. Remember all those things we read over there in Acts that happened? I think our brother Justice was there being a ruler of the synagogue, was taken out, and they were beat him or were going to, or Jason, they were going to threaten them about this faith that's come from different places. And there are Jews that were jealous there, were stirred up base men and to turn the people against the apostle and the band that was with him. When they turned to the Lord, when they were saved, it wasn't an easy thing, but they received the Lord with that much affliction and with joy, even in spite of that challenge, and in spite of that grief that they got from many of the city, they were with joy of the Holy Ghost. Verse number 7, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. We saw how their witness spread. They were sold out for the Lord, and they had been saved by Him. He says in verse number 12 of chapter 2, he says, remember our witness. Remember how we exhorted, comforted, and charged you when we were with you, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you into His kingdom and His glory. Brother Doug, in Sunday school class, he's teaching on Romans chapter 8 and a few verses there about the working of God from end to end, if you will, for us. And as the children of God, we are saved. We've got the Spirit of God living within. I want you to take a look over here quickly, over here in 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's take a look over here. I believe that this is the case. You know, we need to grab a hold of this understanding as the children of God that we've been equipped. We've been filled with the Spirit of God. We've been given what we need to serve God. And we've been given blessings and tools, if you will, to avail ourselves to God, His power, His ability. As the brother sang, the Lord, and as we sang in the congregational singing, the Lord is leading. He's leading. We just need to hear the leadership. The Lord is there. How many blessings does He have? He's got heaven full of blessings that He will pour out that we won't be able to receive. Isn't that what the Scripture says? Yeah, okay. So those things are there. He gives us prayer. He's given us His Word. Look what it says here in 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll just read it from the first verse. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power will give us, is that what it says? No, it says, hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. It's been given. It's been provided. We need to avail ourselves to it as a child of God. We are not without light. We have light. We have life. We have the Spirit of God living within. I'm talking about it after Sunday school class. I guess when Brother Roger Jones, he made reference to it here. Which dog are you feeding? Whichever dog you and I feed is the dog that's going to come out on top, going to win. If we feed that old man, he's going to rise up. He's going to take over. He's going to take control. He's going to put the quench on the spirit, and he's going to quench and there's those two words, quench the spirit, grieve the spirit, thank you. That's what's going to happen. If he takes over, the body takes over, the soul, if you will, take over, which in us is corrupt yet, that takes over, it's going to be nothing but sin and wickedness, grief to the Lord, and we're going to have the displeasure of our Father upon us. He's not going to forget us, because He loves us, right? We're His children. But if the new man's fed, the new man takes over, the new man's over there nailing that old man down, there's going to be blessing, going to be help, going to be light, going to be encouragement, going to be joy in spite of circumstances. And we're going to find ourselves in obedience. He says here, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us, us to glory and virtue. They at Thessalonica had been called to His kingdom and His glory, right? Here Peter says, to those that have been called to glory and to virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Amen. Do you know the promises of the Lord? Without them, you can't claim them. You can't operate on them. You and I can't claim and hold to and bring back before the Lord the promises of the Lord if we don't know them. Right. But if He said, if you do this, I'll do this, that's a promise. If you obey me in this, I'll bless you in this. I'll give you strength in this. I'll cause you to grow in this. If you don't, then I will do this, or I will do that. I'll do the other. Those are promises. Promises of the Lord. You know, we are not floating along. Right? We're not floating along as the children of God. We're either going forward or going backwards. There's no stationary for the child of God. He's given us these things and these precious promises. Verse number 4 in the middle part there, 2 Peter chapter 1, that by these promises ye might be partakers of the divine nature, of Jesus' nature. By the promises and knowing those, claiming those, having expectation for the fulfilling of those, you and I can live Christ-like in this present evil world. Amen. We can. We can. If we seek to ourselves, we can't. We seek to the Lord, we can. We can. It's promised to us. It's given to us. He says here, whereby given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through desire. Okay? Don't necessarily all the time make that word lust, sensual or sexual or such as that. That's talking about the desire and the way of the mind and the flesh and what it wants to go. Amen. Where services are called and they're posted as an example, we use that example a lot, and I say, I don't want to go. That's a wrong desire. That's a wrong lust. The Lord says, witness to that, folks. Tell them about Jesus Christ. You got a concern for them about their soul. No. That's a wrong lust. That's a wrong desire. Listen to that still small voice. Look what he says. He says, partake of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust, being able to escape even though we're here. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Add these. Be about it. Take on the armor. Amen? Put on the armor. We've got to do it. We've got a purpose to do it. We've got to seek to do it. We've got to introspect. We've got to evaluate about our spiritual life. our life before the Lord, asking the Lord where we have need, and that He might show us where we have need, and we would pursue it. Look what it says. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you and I are adding, and by doing so, manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, seeking to add these things, manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, we'll know about the Lord. You know, because we can't do this without being into His Word. We can't do this without fellowshipping with Him. We'll have the Word of God in us. Something will come up, somebody will ask a question, something will be stated. We'll know what God says in it because we fed on His Word. We fellowship with Him, fellowship with the saints. We've met together to worship Him. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, verse 9, a warning, a promise. But he that lacketh these things is blind. The fool thinks it's cute to be ignorant. It's not. Ignorance is not bliss. It's not. Especially in the things of the Lord. And we need to be ignorant in the things of the world, amen? But in the things of the Lord, we need to be men. We need to grow up. He that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, get so bad that you can forget that you were purged from your old sins. Backslide. So he says here, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. So we've been given all things that apply that pertain to life and to godliness. We've been given those things, Lord. We need to avail ourselves to them. We've got the Spirit of God living within. We need, as it says here in verse number 12 of chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, walk worthy of God. This is not, and understand, and I think there are those that maybe even grown up in Sovereign Grace Baptist churches that have grown up in such thinking that the whole relationship with God is I'll do these few things, I'll do this handful of things, that'll please God, that'll keep God off my back, and everything will be great. Listen, if you're living life like that, you're living life for the Lord in a wrong way. It's as a child, having a father, got a father that loves us. He's provided for us. He cares for us. He loves us. He wants good for us. He wants us to grow. He wants us to do well. His desire for us is that we flourish. Jesus said that He came that we might have life and we might have it more abundantly. Not a squelched down, beat down, grudgeful life. That's not what the Lord came to give, is it? But if we have an attitude that, well, I gotta go do this. I gotta do this, wear this, put this, go this, whatever, to keep God off my back. I really don't want to. Well, see, there's a heart problem. Rather, you and I need to, what our desire is Father, how can I please You? And He speaks. We say, yeah, that's what I need to do. That when the Father speaks, when the Son speaks, when the Word of God speaks, we say, ah, that's a place of blessing. And I've seen that before. I want to go there. Walk worthy. That what it is that our lives would match up in witness, I believe, and manifestation and witness to the Lord and to the world around us that we are saved. Somebody comes to you and they say they've done some great thing. My brother-in-law knows of a fella, and he claimed to be to have some great position in the military. But yet the working of his life and the claim that he had, those that fill those positions in the military have to be very intelligent, have to be very able, have to be very, very knowledgeable and have much wisdom and ability and all that. But this man didn't fit the bill. He claimed to be this. But then after some investigation, he was found not to be that. You know what I'm saying? Well, what a disgrace to God if you and I claim to be His child, but then live like the world and the devil. religious, everything. We have a word that we are the Lord's. But when everybody, when folks look at us and consider us, and I'm not talking about slander, I'm not talking about people having a wrong attitude and heart to those that are faithful and true to the Lord. And understand, we're men. You know, we're not perfect. Because there are those that become jealous of those that are trying to serve the Lord and follow the Lord in that. But if we claim to be this out of our mouth, but then our life doesn't line up with it, are we walking worthy? We don't. It doesn't line up, does it? Talks cheap and always has been cheap. But James tells us that doing shows it. I believe in God. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that He died for me. And I believe He saved me from my sins. And I don't want to pursue after my sins anymore. And He's given me instruction about how to live in my life and how to raise my family, how to be to my wife and so on. And I believe Him. And I want to apply that to my life. You know why? That's the place of blessing. That's what the Lord's ordained. And by doing that, people look on. We had it, and I'm just saying this from the standpoint of my experience, but been in a church, and different members of that church would have family and friends. We caught up in wickedness and sin, and they'd have great trial and trouble in their life, and they would come to those that were saved, and brothers and sisters in Christ that I knew of, and they would say in their distress and in their grief and their trouble and their turmoil, said, "I want what you've got." They had been a witness to them, and maybe in time had even been ridiculed by this same one that now comes and say, "I want what you've got," because see, they knew that they were in touch with the Lord. Some of you have had that in your families or acquaintance that you know of. You've tried to be a witness to them over the years, and you've prayed for them, and you've talked to them about their need of the Lord, and they've pushed you off and shoved you aside. But then, when something came about, they came to you, and they said, "I need your help." But see, they knew they could trust you. They knew that you were in touch with the Lord because you're walking worthy. Now, that's what that's talking about. This is a theme with the Apostle Paul, and we're going to take a look at this, that you would walk worthy of God. Let's go ahead and read verse number 13, and we'll bring this in too, and then we'll take a look at these other passages. Verse 12, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto His kingdom and His glory. Live like it. Live like it for real. Not fake it. See, if it's a facade, okay, that's not it. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, whose transgressions are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. Blessed is the man in whose spirit there is no guile, deception. That's what that word guile, deception means. See, modern day religion is a religion of faking everybody out. How many TV evangelists, radio evangelists, so-called preachers, big ministries and all that, and then find out that the leadership in them is just as wicked as the people that they're trying to minister to. And yes, good men, good women can fall into sin, can yield to temptation. That indeed can happen. But so much of religion at hand, popular and modern-day religion at hand, is it's a facade. It's just another TV program. It's just another drama show. That's not what the way salvation is. Salvation's real. Salvation is a change. Salvation is coming from death unto life. Amen? From light, from death, from darkness unto light. For this cause, verse 13, we also thank God without ceasing, because that when you received the word of God, ye heard it of us. You received it not as the word of men. Hear that? Believe what you believe, because you've got it from God ultimately. Not from Brother Jim. Now, Brother Jim's here. The teachers are here to tell, again, what God says. But get what you believe from God. Get it from God. It'll be real then. You and your relationship with Him. He said, you received it not as the word of men or of us, but as it is in truth the Word of God. I like this. which effectually worketh also in you that believe. It got down here amongst you. Amen? That sharp two-edged sword went right down in there. Right down there where the bones and the marrow, where the soul and the spirit, the body and the soul is put together. It came, whoever was preaching it didn't matter. Because it was from God. Walk worthy of the Lord that's called you. Be convicted by the Lord. Don't have conviction about a thing. Pray the Lord will help you to see those things, and then pray that He'll give you conviction and answer. Don't we have questions that we ask of the Lord? Aren't there things from the Word of God that we want to know about? If you don't have any questions, something's up. If you don't have any questions about the Word of God, you're not studying. Bottom line, if you have no questions about the Word of God, you are not delving into the Word of God. Dig. Read. Meditate. Ask the Lord about it. Ask your brothers and sisters in Christ about it. Ask the pastor about it. Ask your Sunday school teacher. Dig, learn, grow. We saw that in Proverbs, didn't we? And we ought to be growing. And he says here, which effectually worketh in you. You know what this word in the Greek is? Energio. Energy. A form of the word, there's a couple of these forms there that are in a line. As we look at them, energio, the energy of God. Is the energy of God working in you? Is the energy of God working in me? Is the energy of God working in us? Then walk worthy of God. Let the talk and the walk match. Amen? To be pleasing to our Father. To be a representative and witness of Him. This theme is all through the epistles of the Apostle Paul to the church. And so we're going to go backwards here just for the sake of going through the Scriptures. Turn over here quickly to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look at this. The same church. He writes here, we'll pick it up in verse 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as is meet, as is suitable, as is right, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity, the love with legs on it, of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. It grows and grows and grows and grows. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God. Not church of God, but churches, right? Different ones that they visit, right? Amen. Local churches of God for your patience and faith. The witness is going all the way out to other places. Your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer. Remember what it says in 1 Corinthians 6? Those that are doing those old sins don't inherit the kingdom of God. Those that are pursuing and doing the works of the flesh, they don't inherit the kingdom of God. But the Lord's people, who have been saved by the Lord, the saints persevering to the end, and listen, the saints do persevere to the end. Because when the Lord saves, it's over with. He's saved. Amen? He says here that that He desires and their obedience is such that they might be counted worthy of the kingdom of God that they're suffering for. Look over here in, also in a chapter, in the same chapter here in verse number 11. Let's go ahead and read. We'll read from verse 5. Seeing verse number 6. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulations that trouble you. The Lord will take care of vengeance. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints. Are you glorifying the Lord now? That's what the Lord expects. And to be admired of all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling. Are you faithful? Do you have a claim that you're saved, but then that's it? No, don't live like that. either evaluate, are you saved? Or pick it up and get serious to walk with the Lord. Amen? Be found worthy. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God will count you worthy of His calling to fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. A challenge to be faithful to the Lord. Colossians chapter 1. Take a look over here. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 9. A church that it doesn't seem like the apostle ever met, but they were a result of ministry in Asia Minor. Verse number 9 of chapter 1 of Colossians, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Kind of like what Peter said, wasn't it? "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing." Pleasing self? No, pleasing Him. See, pleasing Him. Not keeping Him off your back, but pleasing Him. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." The Lord gave the talents. The Lord said He's going away. The Lord said, "Abide till I come." And the Lord went away. And they did abide. They used what the Lord had given. Right? See, the Lord provided. What we have is never of ourselves. It's what the Lord's provided. Yeah. He's provided. And then when they came back, what did the servant say? "Thy talents have gained 5 more." And the Lord said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." What did he do? He obeyed. He obeyed. He walked worthy. Remember the one with one talent, with 1 pound? Went and trusted in the earth and trusted in self. And I know that parable lends itself to teaching some other things, but he said, "Thou wicked servant." Now, we talked here a while back, do you love? We love by giving of ourselves, by giving of self. That's the way the Lord loved. And so what that one did, he said, "No, I'm going to trust in the earth. I'm not going to make a move. I'm not going to listen to what the master said. He said, 'Abide, I'm going to bury.'" No. And what did they do? They took the 1 talent, took the 1 pound, gave it to another. And then that one had no blessing whatsoever, did they? Here, he says, "You might walk worthy of the Lord," verse 10, "unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." You know what? I wonder. I don't think we can be fruitful if we're not increasing. I think our fruitfulness will become stagnant when our knowledge becomes stagnant. Hear that? Now, we can go, we can look at things, and we can renew them afresh. Amen? And we need to look into the Word of God and learn those things. You know, we've all had that thing, so, "Well, I never saw that before." Or, "I knew that years ago and forgot about it." Right? Growing. Renewing those things. He tells it to the church of Thessalonica. He tells it to the church of Colossae. In Ephesians chapter 4, look here. He has the same kind of themes. Same kind of directive to the church here at Ephesus. Ephesus chapter 4. Verse number 1. "I therefore, because of these things that he's given in these first 3 chapters, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, I beg you, that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." And that word vocation speaks about calling. The calling wherewith ye are called. We've been given, as the Lord's people, a job to do. To glorify the Lord. To be a witness of Him. To tell what He's done for us. And to praise and honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you." He said, I'm His prisoner. Was Paul there in Rome, if it's a reference to that, was he there in Rome bound for his own gain? No. It was for the gain, if you will, of obedience to the Lord and for the gain of those who would be saved. Even in Caesar's household. Can you believe that God would take a servant that he has. Take trouble that he got to in a city a long, long way away in Jerusalem. Take that and direct that and turn that and work in that to get him a trip up there to where you live in Italy. Being in the household of Caesar, and then put him there where he could be a witness to you. That's a working in power of God. And the Lord doing such a thing on seeking out his children and calling and drawing. Should we not walk worthy? Amen. We should. He says, I beg you, I beseech you, that you walk worthy of the vocation, the calling, wherewith ye are called. It is a holy, righteous, and eternal calling indeed. And then in Revelation chapter 3, hear the Lord speaking to these churches in Asia Minor, and this revelation to John. Revelation chapter 3. Can I ever walk worthy? Can it be? Is it a gain? Is it a place? Is it a thing that can ever be attained? That we walk worthy? Yes, we can. I think this scripture evidences it. But you know what? Will never be found boasting in it. Remember that. The disciples said to the Lord, said, increase our faith. He says, okay. He says, when a man goes out with a servant to the field and plows and works and all that, when they come back, does the master say to the servant, okay, you sit down here, I'll make the meal, and then you eat, and then after you eat, I'll eat. Is that the way it works? No. No, but rather, the master comes in. They've both been working in the field. They come in. And the master sits down. The servant makes the meal, feeds the master. And after the master's eaten, then the servant eats. They said, increase our faith. I think what that's talking about there is that they're saying, we want to feel better about what we're doing following you. I think that's why we want to feel better. And the thing is, brothers and sisters, with this old body, don't ever expect this body to feel good about anything about the Lord. Okay? But the Lord said, He said, no, rather the master eats first, then the servant. He says, when you have done all those things that you've been bid to do, say, we are unprofitable servants. Because see, the child of God, open before the Lord, and hearing the Word of God, hearing the truth of God's Word, and knows that in and of ourselves, we have nothing. But what we've been made in Christ, we are something indeed. And we've been given ability to serve the Lord. We've got the Spirit of God within. But the thing is understand, until this body quits breathing, we will never arrive. We'll always be pursuing walking worthy. If you say, well, I've walked worthy, I'm there. I've arrived. I don't have to continue walking worthy anymore. Backsliding has just started happening. Okay? Understand that. So, walking worthy is a continual pursuit till death. But so you know what? Look what the Lord says here to this church at Sardis. In Revelation chapter 3, can we attain it? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Through the Lord, through what He's provided, through what He's given, seeking His face, fellowshipping with Him, praying to Him, reading His Word, fellowship with Him and the Lord's people, and service in the churches He's given us and blessed us with. To the church in Sardis, the Lord writes in verse number 4 of chapter 3 of the book of Revelation, thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They didn't go after this wicked way that was in this church, that was prevalent or in this particular church. There were those, a few names. And the church at Sardis did not go after that wicked way. They've not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. That's what the Lord said. They were faithful. They heard what I said. And they stuck by it no matter what. I've shown you here in the Scripture. We've gone over it about what the Lord has given here to these churches and to being an overcomer. The way to be an overcomer in this age and in our time, and for we that are in the Lord's churches, he tells here in verse number 5, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, and will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." We can be an overcomer in the Lord by obeying Him, believing Him in His Word, knowing His promises, applying the Word of God to our lives and our homes and our families. When we fail, ask the Lord to forgive us. Ask Him to help us. Ask Him to strengthen us and pursue, pursue, and pursue, and walk worthy. Walk worthy. And back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 10, He said, "You know how we were before you." In verse number 10 of chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians, "We were witnesses. We walked in a holy, just way. We exhorted, comforted, and charged you, as a father doth his children, walk worthy of God who hath called you into his kingdom and his glory." Walk worthy of him. Let the energy of God be manifest in your life. "For this cause we also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, you heard it of us. You received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God." Taking what God says, not because Brother Jim says it, but because it's what God says. And take that into your heart, into your soul, into your life, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Does the word of God, does the energia of the Word of God work in you? Is it effectual to you? If it's not effectual, then you need to evaluate. Maybe your heart is calloused. Maybe there's sin in your life that you need to deal with the Lord about and seek that the Lord's effectual Word, the Word would be effectual working in you and walk worthy of our Lord.